Most of us have a word or phrase, like fingernails on a chalkboard, and you never, never want to hear it again. This hour, the words you'd like to ban in 2014. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, is here today. We'll talk about the words that made Lake Superior University's annual banned words list. And we'd also like to hear about the words and phrases you would like to banish in 2014. And if you could pick the best new word or usage from 2013, what would it be? We'll discuss a number of picks for Word of the Year. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, your least favorite words or phrases from 2013, the ones that you would like to ban in 2014. And also, on the flip side, if you could pick just one new word or phrase from 2013, what would it be? We want you to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, is here today. She blogs at grammarphobia.com and is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other best-selling books. Hello, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
A little belated, but
yeah.
You know, it was a couple of months ago, we talked about some of the new words that had been inducted into the Oxford Online Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the banned words list from Lake Superior University that comes out every year on January 1st, list has a whole lot in common with all of the new words that we talked about just a couple of months ago.
It does, but, you know, we should make clear that lexicographers don't add words to the dictionary because they like them or they think that, you know, twerking is a good thing. We all ought to know that word. It's just that it's in the air, and people need to know how to spell it, look it up, see what it means, it's become current. So it doesn't mean that they're endorsing the word. They just think that it's become common enough that it should be in the dictionary. Now, a lot of the new words that come along represent obnoxious sorts of activities. Twerk is a good one. Selfie is another one. And, of course, these are the kinds of things that are going to show up on the Lake Superior University annual list of words that people would like to see banned. So it's not really surprising.
Right, there is some overlap.
One example that, you know, Lake Superior, the word that got most votes for should be banned was selfie, and the next was twerk. And we all agree that we're a little tired of reading about selfies and twerking and all this. But another one was hashtag. Now, I can't see why they would want to ban hashtag since it's a useful term for a certain kind of Twitter tweeting device. And as a matter of fact, it was last year's Word of the Year by the American Dialect Society.
Well, and it strikes me that the people who want to ban the word hashtag probably would like to banish Twitter as
they
well.
They might want to, yes.
But if you were a Twitter user, there's really no way to function without it.
No, you have to have hashtags. I mean, if you want to find a new word for them, fine, but hashtag is actually a pretty good word. It's got a hash mark, and it's a tag for looking something up, so it's actually a pretty useful word.
Well, and starting with that word selfie, which did get the most nominations with Lake Superior mm-hmm. University every year, or mm-hmm. this year, it also was Jeff Nunberg's Word of the Year, and uh-huh. it was Word of the Year for Oxford Dictionaries, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the Oxford Dictionary's Word of the Year. And again, they choose their Word of the Year based on what they think is going to be have staying power. It's not only been in the news a lot. It doesn't have to be brand new that year, just very current that year, and looks like it's going to stick around for a while.
It's going to be in the
language
for a while. Well, yeah. And in Jeff Nunberg's column about it, he posted that picture of Barack Obama and mm-hmm. also the, you know, the British prime minister. And in between them was the Danish prime minister. And this was at the remembrance of Nelson Mandela. And she decided she wanted a picture with both of them. And so mm-hmm. they took a picture, a selfie
right.
of the three of them.
Right.
With,
People have been doing this ever since that capability was in cell phones. In fact, they've been doing it before cell phones, taking self-portraits. Actually, when you give your camera to a fellow tourist at the Grand Canyon and say, here, shoot a picture of my husband and me, that's a sort of selfie. I mean, we all have done this kind of thing.
Well, and I saw there's a meme going around, probably another word people want to get rid of,
right.
that shows many of the famous painters with their self-portraits, calling them the official, the original selfies.
Right, right. But I think Nunberg wrote a very good column about that, or he did a very good interview about it. That it does have a kind of cultural resonance with us, not only because it says something about current technology, but because it says something about our own self-absorption. There are good parts of selfie and bad parts of selfie. When you take a picture of yourself with your newborn baby in your hospital room, I mean, that's sweet. If you take a picture of yourself posing, making muscles and post it to some 13-year-old's email account, you're being kind of sleazy. It's able to be interpreted in a lot of different ways.
Well, and
so it can be used morally, immorally.
Right. And it's an impulse that I think most of us can relate to, because if I were sitting in between President Obama and Prime Minister David Cameron, I would want
a selfie?
Right?
Wouldn't you whip out your phone and do
say,
it?
Say, hey, guys, smile. All right, well, let's, you know, and we don't need to talk about twerking because
no.
I think we're all of the same mind there.
And you know something? That's not really new. It was around in 1999. It was just popularized again because of Miley Cyrus, and I think we've heard enough about her, too.
Right, right. So we talked about hashtag Twittersphere is another one that makes the Lake Superior University list. And
right.
that I think that falls under the same category as hashtag, although it's a little more cutesy and not quite as necessary.
Well, you know, some of the words that they'd like to ban really aren't all that common. I don't see Twittersphere that much, and I don't see Mr. Mom.
Well, that was really interesting that Mr. Mom made the list, and I wonder how it came up that more than one person actually suggested to have it banned this year. It's the 30th anniversary of the movie Mr. Mom, so maybe that somehow made it part of the popular lexicon, but I haven't heard anybody use the phrase all year.
No, I haven't either.
Even though, I mean, some of the people who gave reasons for banning it had great reasons. Would we tolerate calling working women Mrs. Dad?
Yeah, right.
No, I don't think we would.
No. And the other few that they mentioned, like T-bone, describing a perpendicular sort of car collision, one car hitting the other from the side. I've never heard that one. Have you?
I have heard it, although, again, it doesn't seem necessarily new, and it seems quite
destructive. Yeah, how often does it come up?
Right. Hopefully not very often.
Yeah.
They have a few other words and phrases saying anything's on steroids. People
yeah,
want
that's
to do away
tired.
With that. Right.
That's a little tired.
And the suffixes like ageddon and apocalypse. So we had, you know, snowmageddon or snowpocalypse.
Right.
But I was really impressed. We just are experiencing the polar vortex. So I do think we're getting more creative with naming winter storms.
Well, you know, you're having the polar vortex. And here in Connecticut, we're having weather whiplash.
Oh, nice.
That's a new term. It's a drop of 50 degrees in a matter of hours.
Wow.
We've had whiplashing back and forth. Yesterday it was in the 50s. Everything was melting and steaming. Today it's 3 degrees. So
Well, we're steadily climbing. Last time I checked, it was right at zero. So we're doing...
Oh, well, that's good. You're way up there.
That's right. We're doing a lot better. It feels good. Trust me. Trust me. And then, of course, into the political realm. They also would love to ban Obamacare.
Yeah, and that's the only good reason I see for that one, for banning it, is that it's not the real name of the Affordable Care Act. But... you know, so what? We give it a nickname.
Right. So we do want to hear your words and phrases that you would love to never hear again. And it doesn't have to be something that was new in 2013. It could just be something that's been driving you crazy for years and years. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Pat, is there something, you have a lot of respect for the changing language, which I really appreciate, but is there something that you hope to never hear again?
Well, there's something I'm tired of hearing, and that is the word brand used for someone's public image, like the Kardashian brand or the Kanye West brand, or as I recently read an article that, you know, Kanye West doesn't think that his brand conflicts with Kim Kardashian's brand. In fact, he's always loved her brand. You know, I mean, I think brands belong on products, not on people. So I'm tired of seeing brand used, meaning a person's public image.
I have a phrase that I would like to never hear again, but it's not new by any means. And I risk offending people, but I hate the phrase, as it were. Because it could be removed from any sentence it's used in, then the sentence would stand by itself. For me, that's a phrase that
it's
is meaningless.
It's disposable. And it is
my personal pet peeve.
Yeah, it's kind of a filler.
Absolutely.
It sounds lofty.
Yes, perhaps a little pretentious even.
Yes.
The number to call to share your language pet peeves and the words and phrases you would like never to hear again is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can also post on our Facebook page. And in just a moment, when we get back from our break, we will move on to words of the year and some of the words that really personify the year 2013. We'd love to hear your suggestions for those as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Email again, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. My guest today is English language expert Patricia O'Connor. She blogs at grammarphobia.com and is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other best-selling books. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour with us is our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. She blogs at grammarphobia.com and is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books on the English language. So far, we've been talking about words we hope to never hear again. We've talked about the Lake Superior University banished words list that comes out every January 1st. And Pat, we have a lot of people who want to share words and phrases that they would like to never hear again. So let's get to the phones, and then we'll talk a little bit more about words of the year in a couple of minutes. Jeffrey is on the line first from Des Moines. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi. Yeah, I would say airstrikes instead of bombing. I would say political leaders referring to us as folks. the word troops. And the other word I would ban is the word politics, because a word used for everything generally means nothing. There's no clarity.
Boy, it would be hard to do without the word politics, Jeffrey.
Yeah, but a word that is used for everything means nothing.
All right, we use it.
Oh, yeah, I know what he means. When you say, oh, it's just, he did that for political reasons, or that's just politics, you're saying that it's kind of a nebulous reason.
Do use it a lot in a lot of different situations.
Yeah, I don't think he's talking about banning it as the practice or the science or whatever of politics, but just blaming things, saying, oh, that's just politics.
Well, and airstrikes is one of those phrases that George Orwell would have warned us about, something that sounds much cleaner and safer than what it is.
Yeah.
Let's move on now to Dennis in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Dennis.
Hi there.
Hi. What's your word?
Well, I admit to being an old codger bordering on curmudgeon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My word, and I think it's either the 16th or the 17th straight year, is like.
Like? Oh, right. It's not
Take it
really,
from there and I'll listen.
It's not really a vocabulary word. It's sort of like it's a verbal tick.
Absolutely, and for a whole lot of us, it is. Mm-hmm. Although I think we're moving on to other verbal tics in the next generation. I have my own pet peeves about that as well. All right, thank you, Dennis. Next up, we've got John on the line in Iowa City. Hi, John.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies. This is one of my favorite programs.
Oh, good. What would you like to talk about?
I'd like to talk about the use of the word orientate. When orient is adequate, and
right.
Price point, when price says it all. I don't know if price point means that it's a soft price and it's somewhere on a scale and we can move that if we need to, but both seem unnecessary.
I know. I hate price point myself.
Well, and there are so many words in business speak, John, that fall in those same categories.
Right. It's one of those retailing words, too, that only in retailing do they talk about pant, the garment, in the singular. Would you like
right,
to try
right.
a pant with that?
I had a clothing salesman. I had a clothing salesman that said it correctly. He always talked about the pant.
Oh, John, thanks a lot for your call.
You're welcome.
All right, next up, Dale is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Dale.
Hello. I don't know why, but this phrase drives me crazy. 24/7, 365.
Oh, yeah. Why don't it would be easier to say always or all the time,
yes.
around
yeah.
the clock.
Does it bother you, Dale, just because it's hyperbole?
Yes.
Yeah. What's your other one?
Could I share one more, please?
Sure.
The word attitude, as in you've got attitude.
Yeah. There's another version of that, just plain tude.
Yeah, that drives me crazy.
That's even worse, huh, Dale?
Yeah, good program. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Andy is on the line in Marion. Hi, Andy.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What's your word?
My word, I know it's a couple years old, but it always has been the word swag.
Flag?
Swag. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it came upon from Justin Bieber or somebody like that. And it just really took off with, you know, people within his generation, and just you cannot get away from it.
Now, wait a minute.
What does it mean?
Yeah, let's hear your definition. I may have a different definition for swag.
Well, but the context that they're using it in is I've got swag, or, you know, I've got style or attitude or so on and so forth.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
Because I've always used the word swag to mean free things that you get from businesses or people who are trying to sell you something.
Right. Or it can mean money. A slang term for money. But I've never heard it used to mean coolness.
I could have maybe heard it to be mean coolness and just misunderstood it.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's all over the place, and there's just no way you can get away from it from the younger crowd.
All right. Well, Andy, thanks a lot for sharing.
All right. Thank you.
And now we're going to get new words to drive us crazy, Pat.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk. We're going to get back to the phones in just a minute. We have more people who want to share their words. But let's talk a little bit about words of the year. We already talked about the fact that selfie was a word of the year for Jeff Nunberg and also mm-hmm. for Oxford Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other words that seem to make word of the year lists?
Well, I think the most interesting word was the American Dialect Society's Word of the Year, which they just voted on a couple of days ago. And the word is because. And the reason they, you know, the word of the year doesn't have to be new. It can just be used in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And the new because is, it's used with either a noun or an adjective or some other part of speech instead of using it with a whole clause. So instead of, I didn't do my homework because I was tired, you would say, I didn't do my homework because tired. Or, I'm convinced of this because it's logical. You'd say, I'm convinced of this because logic.
So is this something that has come from shorthand used in texting that has become part of our lexicon?
It first showed up in internet writing by young people, and then it started showing up more and more in speech, or at least, you know, linguists started noticing their kids using it. And now it is really, it's ubiquitous. You might read right over it without noticing it and without realizing that it's being used as a whole new part of speech.
Wow.
I don't know whether this is going to stick around, but I think this is the most linguistically interesting word of the year. It's not just a new vocabulary word for some new phase that's coming and going. It represents a new grammatical function for a very old word.
That is very interesting. And we mm-hmm. have seen this with a number of other words. I guess the one that pops to mind is that last year we decided that it was okay to use the word literally to mean figuratively.
Right. And it's not that just that we suddenly decide it's okay. The reason this happens is because that's the way people are, in fact, using it. And that's always been the way, the reason that words change. You know, the word cute used to have many, many more different meanings than it does today. It had some really obnoxious meanings in the past. So did the word nice. It could mean fastidious, picky, annoying. It had a lot of different meanings than it does today. Over hundreds of years, things change. And the word agenda, for example, used to be a plural. In the 19th century, it meant items on a list. Now it means the list itself. So these things change, and I think we ought to recognize that, and instead of resisting change, it's more interesting to try to find out why something is becoming current, why a word is being used in a new way.
Very interesting. I guess I'm sure I've seen that use of mm-hmm. because online, but I haven't mm-hmm. looked twice.
Right.
And I certainly haven't heard it in conversation with anyone my age.
Yeah, say, I'm not getting a new phone because money.
Right. Interesting.
Right.
Well, let's get back to the phone.
Because expensive.
You can use
because before a noun or an adjective, whereas before you'd have to put a whole clause in front of it.
Right.
Or a prepositional phrase, because of the money.
So let's get back to the phones because people want to know. I can't use it that way, Pat, but there are a lot of people who want to share their words.
Because phone lines.
Okay. All right. Nick is up next in Davenport. Hi, Nick.
Hello. How are you girls this morning?
We're good. What are your words?
I'll tell you what. The first word is gay, because years ago, gay meant I'm in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
That was stolen from us as heterosexuals. I don't like diversity. I don't like carbon footprint, bounce out, bounce in, shock and awe, new normal, global warming. Totally, basically, you know, awesome. Move forward. Oh, everybody uses move forward. It's gagging. Transparency, worst case scenario. See what I'm saying? Do you see what I mean? Just to understand. You got to understand. Whatever. Rainbow Coalition, Live United, multiculturalism, politically correctness. There you go.
Wow.
Okay, well, I would like to make one comment here. I think sometimes our objections to words slop over into objections to the things themselves. And I think your list kind of represents your objections to those things, not just the words, but what they represent. And that, I think that's a lot of the reason why Lake Superior University doesn't like selfie and twerk. They don't like the ideas of them. They don't like the things that are being described.
Right.
So we have to, I think we should separate here our feelings for something as a lexical unit and the thing it represents.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for your call. Next up, Ray is on the line in Mason City. Hi, Ray.
Yeah, he mentioned one that irritated me from the day I first heard it, and that was awesome.
Yeah, right.
And that's another one of those words where the meaning has morphed dramatically over the years.
It has. And the thing is, the reason these words come into currency is because they're new and they're different. They have a little bit of oomph. And that's the reason they go out. They get tired, they get stale, they get worn out. They become old usage. And I think that's going to happen with awesome.
Yeah, and I think it has. I mean, certainly it was a lot more popular when I was in junior high than it is now.
Right.
That's what it sounds like, is a kid's thing, and they never grew out of it.
Right, right. Yeah, well, when you learn to speak in a certain way, it's hard to change those habits as you grow.
Well, I guess we had words when I was a kid, too, but very seldom use them.
Are there any?
The one that I get a kick out of is that was popular when I was a kid, and it still is today, and that's cool. But it has
cool
varied a little bit.
Gets tired. It seems to never get tired.
Yeah, but the other one I have is that hashtag. That's a number sign.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Next up, let's go to Andy on the line in Fredericksburg. Hi, Andy. Andy,
hi,
are you there?
Hello.
Hi. What's your word?
Yes. I do not like the phrase YOLO.
That's an acronym that stands for you only live once.
Yes, because I believe I live every.
All right.
I live every day, but I'll only die once.
What would be the acronym for that?
That's YODO.
It'd be very close to a short green guy. We'd call it YODO.
Right. All right, Andy. Thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, I'd like to mention another one that's on a lot of lists this year. It's on the Oxford Dictionary list, and it's on a lot of others. And I think it's a good one. It's binge watch.
To mean to sit down and watch an entire television
A whole season. Maybe in one sitting. And the reason it's been around for a while, but it got a real boost this year because Netflix, on its streaming videos, began releasing episodes of series all at once instead of one at a time. So that made it possible for people to sit down, for example, and watch a whole season or even two of Downton Abbey in one sitting. And anyway, I like the term binge watch.
Well, and it was a phenomenon that needed a name.
Yeah, it needed a name. Right. That's why most of these things come up. But another good one, I think, is RoboSapiens. I like that one because it's a pun and it's evocative. It means robots with close to human intelligence. Very, very smart robots.
And you think it's more evocative than androids?
Yeah, yeah. It seems to conjure up a sort of new species of sci-fi animal, robo-sapiens. An android, now that it's also used for phones, is sort of losing its robot kind of meaning.
Right.
You know, now that people have android phones, it doesn't conjure up the robot image so much anymore.
Right. Before we get to the break, I want to read some of the tweets and emails that we've been getting. This is from Jenny tweeting, please, 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 can someone make ridiculous overuse of the word epic go away? It's monumentally annoying.
Epic?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And I think she might be advocating monumentally instead, or monumental,
yeah.
or legendary, perhaps.
Not Ageddon. Don't call it Ageddon.
Right.
Or apocalypse.
And this one is from Dan. I am sick of the term double down used in political contexts. Seems like pundits doubled down on its usage in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And this one from Prairie Nicks, the phrase needs fixed. What happened to be? And that's a really interesting usage. Mm-hmm. And I've talked with other people about this usage in the past because that's a regional dialect.
Yes. And actually, my husband and I wrote about that one on our blog. We did a little essay on that one if anybody's interested. But it's not really new. It's quite old. That as in the car needs washed.
Right.
That needs fixing. This shirt needs ironing. They're all in the same sort of category. There are a lot of interesting idiomatic uses of the word need.
Well, we will get back to this conversation in just a moment. We need to take a short break right now. I'm talking with Patricia O'Connor, our English language expert, and you're welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me this hour, our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. She blogs at grammarphobia.com and is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language. You are welcome to join our conversation today. We're talking about words you would like to never hear again, words that should be banned in the year 2014. You can join us at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or post on our Facebook page. And we have a lot of emails to get through, Pat. One of them is about a misspelling, not an actual usage, but this is a misspelling of the word warranty. And apparently, I'm not sure I've seen this, but this is Tim from Adele who says that He says a guarantee is fine and a warranty spelled with a Y at the end is fine, but I cannot abide a warranty which is spelled T-E-E at the end. So it seems to be a mashup of the two words. He says, I go so far as to boycott any company which advertises its products or services as having a warranty. They're obviously so ignorant that whatever kind of assurance they're trying to give me is meaningless.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to pull one over on the consumers by misspelling warranty.
Perhaps. Lisa says her despised phrase is, I'm not a big fan.
Ah.
All right. And here's one. Words I hope to never see again. The word anonymous. The source wished to be anonymous. The person spoke anonymously. If you shouldn't report something, don't. If you feel you must, hang your name on it. Thank you, anonymously, Barb.
Right. That's a good one.
Right, which is not so much an objection to the word as an objection to people reporting things anonymously,
right,
which
right.
has been incredibly controversial forever. And
but, you know, some words of the year are doomed to disappear, so we don't have to worry about objecting to them. Like, there's one whole category of words of the year that the American Dialect Society votes on that is, you know, words that have been prominent that year, but they're the least likely to succeed. Like, words in the past have been Chad. Remember Chad?
Right, hanging Chads.
Yes, and Y2K. Those obviously disappeared. And this year, the winner in least likely to succeed was Thanksgivica. Remember Thanksgivica this
right.
past November? This was the very odd confluence of Thanksgiving with the first day of Hanukkah, and it was called Thanksgivica. And the reason it's voted least likely to succeed is that this is not going to happen again for another 70,000 years. So
now,
I like the least likely to succeed.
I like that, too, although I did. A Facebook friend of mine just referred to Y2K the other day. It was right before the polar vortex descended on us. And he said he was at Hy-Vee and it felt like Y2K all over again.
Oh.
But again, that will age out of the population.
Yes, I think so.
All right, let's get back to the phones for a little while. Ron is on the line from Waterloo. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your word?
It lingers on, but the word is whatever.
Oh. Right. That's when you have nothing particular to add.
Right. Something you say, whether, of course, it's also dismissive. It's a rude word.
So, yeah, it is.
Ron, I don't think it's going anywhere, but I feel your pain. Next up, let's go to Don in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Don.
Good morning. I really enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks. And you want to go back to a word that we already talked about, right?
Well, I do, but before I do, this thing about awesome, I mean, that's just one of the whole class of words that the young people seem to look for to be extreme. Everything has to be extreme. It can't be normal. So there will always be extreme words, and when that one goes, there'll be another extreme. So mm-hmm. more of the same. Swag, you missed a common business use.
Which is?
And it means sophisticated, wild, A-S-S, yes.
Oh.
All right, so it's an acronym.
But sophisticated. Yeah.
Sophisticated, so it's a pretty good guess.
Pretty good, yeah.
All right. Still. I think I make those guesses quite a lot.
Everybody does.
All right, Don, thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Next up, let's go to Will in Iowa City. Hi, Will.
Hey. My word is professional in this sort of more modern usage that it seems to refer more to the social status of a job than the level of experience or skill someone brings to it.
Oh, you're right.
The opposite
I
of
agree.
Professional
Absolutely.
Should be amateur, and it's used like the opposite is plebeian.
Annoys me greatly. I think the one of the most professional people I know is our electrician, who can do anything, and he knows so much about his work. And it's important to know what you're doing when you're an electrician. And I think of him as a professional. He has a profession, and he really knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why professional should mean white collar.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is a thought-provoking one. Will, thanks a lot for your call. And next up, let's go to Kay in Iowa City. Hi, Kay.
Hey. There's another one I thought of besides ban. I mean, besides duh, ban.
Okay, you want to ban the word duh,
and
which a lot of parents would like to do.
Good.
Bad for good. That one is less popular than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank God.
All right, Kay, thanks a lot for your call.
Yep.
Stephen has a new phrase that we're seeing a lot. Hi, Stephen.
How you doing?
Good. What's your phrase?
That moment when.
Right. And that is all over the place.
You used to see it in pictures, and it was meant to be comical or ironic, and it was inclusive. It was something for everyone. But now you see it in people's posts, and it only refers to them and their situation, and I feel imposed upon.
All right. So, Pat, do you know the kind of usage that Steven's talking about?
Actually, I'm not sure.
All right.
Can
you
use
so it's
it in
when
a sentence?
When somebody puts up something on their Facebook page where they say that moment when, and then they follow it with something really bizarre that just happened to them. So that moment when my oven exploded when I was, you know, something like that.
I see.
And so instead of being a something that includes other people, this is a common experience, a shared experience. It's the way that they are making a joke about something really weird that just happened to them.
So
and it's very
it's
common
almost
now.
Like saying, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
If you say your oven just blew up and I say, I hate it when that happens, as if I can share that experience.
Kind of, except that it's the person that it happened to expecting others to be able to
share
relate.
It. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's supposed to be a funny usage, but it is very common. Saul is up next in Rock Island. Hi, Saul.
Hey, good morning. Here's a phrase that I hear all the time. It's nanotechnophilia. People that are addicted to their high-tech toys.
Huh. That's a new one on me.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the conversant over I versus me when people speak. They get confused all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And me. It's really disconcerting when you hear these educated people talk. Thank you.
Right.
All right, Saul. Thanks a lot. And Pat, I know that's one you've written extensively
about.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, sometimes when I say my husband and me, or I write my husband and me on our blog, people correct me. Don't you mean my husband and I? Well, I do if that's the subject. My husband and I went to the movies. But if it's an object, it's my husband and me. That was a nice experience for my husband and me. So they think it's always I. And if it's a pair, that the second element always has to be I.
Hmm.
Not true.
This sounds like a pet peeve for you, Pat.
Yeah. You can sense the irritation
in
my voice.
I can. I'm going to read a few more emails. This one from Larry. There we go. I hate expressions like 20 or 200% less. It makes absolutely no sense to me. 200% more, I can understand, but not 200% less. From Richard, he says, please consider absolutely as a substitute for yes. All right. Considered?
Considered.
Right. Deborah says, although certainly not new, the word that drives me crazy is another in place of another or other. Mm-hmm. I've heard reputable newscasters use this term and cringe every time. The other curious issue I've seen in my college students is an increasing inability to use the proper preposition.
Right. As in I or me. Oh, no, preposition, yes. The proper preposition, that's another issue. I was thinking pronouns.
Right. This one's from Jill. I would ban the overused word huge. It is used in nearly every news article and student's paper. I think it's huge. Right? And I think we're sensing a trend from people who have to read a lot of student papers.
Yes.
Maybe more likely than even the rest of us to have these pet peeves.
The Industrial Revolution was huge.
It's a thesis. All right. Robin wrote from West Branch, reach out is so insincere.
Oh, I know. I hate that.
She says, also, it's like when. I teach university students, and this appears in their writing now all the time. So is that just a use of the word like?
Yeah. I think that's another one. That's another variation on the theme of using like everything.
This one is from Will. I hadn't heard that term. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I guess I don't understand that one. Sorry. The most obnoxious word from an anonymous listener is gift, used as a verb, as in I gifted her a spectacular handbag because I am an amazingly generous person.
Although I do like re-gift, to re-gift something. I think that's funny. It's when you get a gift and you hate it and you just quietly wrap it up and put it in the closet and then you re-gift it to someone else. And you hope it never finds its way back to the original gifter.
Right. All right, let's get back to the phones. Christopher is on the line from Dumont. Hi, Christopher.
Hello.
Hi, what's your pet peeve?
Mine is, hello. I just want to say that I just want to tell you that it really gets to me when people swear all the time in movies or anything.
Yeah.
And that does seem to be more and more accepted all the time and harder to get away from. I know I'm a lot more attuned to it as a parent than I used to be. Christopher, thanks a lot for your call. Next up is Will in Johnston. Hi, Will.
Yeah. Excuse me. Hi, Charity. My pet peeve is the phrase, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
When someone makes a mistake, oh, my bad.
Right,
just
right.
One of those things that annoys me. And
I
the
think
other
it's
one
going
was,
away.
You do? Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I keep hearing it. But my other one was robo-sapiens. I hadn't heard that until today. But it struck me as meaning something different.
Oh.
To me, it suggests people who don't really think for themselves, more like sheeple.
Oh, interesting. Very
interesting.
Will, thanks a lot for your call.
Sure. Bye.
It'll be interesting to see if that develops into a usage as time goes by. David is on the line next from Cedar Rapids. Hi, David.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hi. What's your phrase?
Well, I have a pet peeve. I don't necessarily want to see it disappear, but it could use a rest. The phrase "as well," which is used to substitute for "also," and I don't think I've actually heard the word "also" in months. I don't think anybody uses it anymore. It's all been replaced with "as well," so it seems to me, anyway.
You must hang out with a different crowd than I do, because I don't hear it much in speech, but I see it a lot in writing.
Right. I think that one of, because I use it all the time, one of the reasons that I use it in writing is so that I don't use "also" and twice in a row. So I'll use "also" and then I'll use "as well" to try to shake it up a little bit.
If you have a lot of points to bring up, it's handy if you want to vary your usage. You don't want to use "then too," "then also," and as well is handy. I don't hear it that much though.
Well, maybe we'll be attuned to it now. I think we have time for one more call. Lynn is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Lynn.
Hello. There are a couple of expressions that make me cringe. One is when somebody says that they graduated high school. I miss the "from." Also, people are embarrassed of their stretch marks, according to one ad.
Oh, embarrassed of?
Embarrassed of, yes.
Oh, dear.
Strange. There's a strange use of preposition.
Pardon?
That's a strange use of preposition.
Mm-hmm,
someone mentioned that earlier. Yeah.
And then finally, there's the toilet paper ad that urges us to enjoy the go.
I haven't seen that one, Lynn. Oh, my.
I'd like to see that banished. So thank you for letting me have my input.
All right, Lynn. Thanks a lot for your call. So Pat, we have touched on a few of your pet peeves, but is there something in particular that you're hoping not to hear in 2014?
I know I won't hear "Thanksgivica" or "Chad."
Right.
I guess I'd like to hear more thoughtful usage in 2014, and I'd like to hear more clarity. One of the callers earlier urged clarity. And I tell you, you can never be too clear.
We will all work for that, Pat. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
English language expert Patricia O'Connor joins us from time to time. She blogs at grammarphobia.com and is the author of "Woe Is I" and a number of other books about the English language. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, Sarah Bowden, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. And with me right now is Ben Kiefer, host of River to River. What do you have coming up at noon today, Ben?
Hi, Charity. To be absolutely clear, because that's what we've set as a goal.
Make me so nervous. I know I can't say anything right now.
Iowa's population has grown to just over 3 million people, and we're going to talk about population trends in our state, in the Midwest, in the world at noon today with Liesl Ethington, Dave Peters of Iowa State University. Also, Bill Ryerson will be with us to talk about how local population trends tie in with global trends, so how our economy is tied in with the growth in other parts of the world, how we're all interconnected, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Just to be clear. It's huge. It's epic.
Right. Thanks,
Charity. Ben. That's coming up today at noon on River to River. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, the revival of Midwest history. Talk of Iowa is a production of IPR News.